Welcome again to College Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Coleman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Holly and Mike Gregg. This episode, we'll be looking back at the disappointing 1-1 draw for Fulham against Leeds United at Craven Cottage Wednesday night. We have much to get through, but before we get going, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show first. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, Russ. Looking forward to the show and talking about last night and quite a lot that's been going on today as well.
There's a good amount that's been going on, and we might have to touch on that as well. And we're certainly going to be touching about that on the preview show tomorrow. David, how are you doing?
Hi. Well, unlike Kit, I realised I wasn't 100% match fit fully. So, hence, I suggested to Mike he comes in case I need to be substituted early today. But I think it's a response to last night. A long drive for me. Awful match. Two highlights that I can remember. One was meeting the lovely Roger Lewis at half-time, who's one of our regular listeners and over from Spain. And the other highlight, of course, was Sammy James not being able to throw the ball back from the gantry during the match.
You know, it's funny. I actually talked to Sammy today, David, and he did mention that. I think he's a little bit embarrassed by it, but he did make an effort. It's funny that you mentioned that, because it was interesting listening to that on the broadcast, David.
You know, it was funnier watching it because you see, I didn't know it was him at the time, but you see someone throwing the ball back from the gantry, but rather than coming back towards the pitch, it's hit the roof and bounced the other way backwards towards the back of the gantry.
Unbelievable. That's pretty funny. All right, guys, let's now get into the show. And David, I'm going to start with you. I had the, I don't know if I would call it pleasure, but I did watch back the match today. And actually did talk a little bit about the result with Matt Smith on the coaching corner, but definitely wanted to break down this match a little bit deeper with you guys. So let's start with you. Just share with me your opening thoughts of what you watched.
Well, you have my sympathy, because watching it once was bad enough, but then listening to it and having to watch it again obviously is a lot worse. Very, 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 very forgettable match. A match that never got going in terms of Fulham, really. Didn't start well, didn't do well, didn't finish well. And the result, if anything, and I can see what Kit was saying, that a point was probably a good result for us, because when you look at the balance of chances and things, Leeds had a much better chances to win the match than we did. We had two shots on target in a home match. One was a goal, which you could argue the goalkeeper, let in a bit softly. And the second was a weak shot by LVC, I think, on his left foot. And that was it. And that's just not good enough. And the whole performance was just not good enough.
Okay. And I very much agree with you, David. I think we're all going to agree on that part of this match. Again, it's a point, but it's certainly not good enough. All right, Mike, what are your thoughts on what you watched?
Yes, it was car crash live, and I certainly had no intention of watching the replay again either. It was all in slow motion for us, and we never got going at all. I've seen every game live bar the Charlton game, and it was, for me, it was our worst performance. Couldn't string any passes together. There was no real leadership, no style of play. We were just appalling, and I don't think there's any other way to look at it. One player came out of the game well. Leeds, they changed their manager, but that happens a lot, and they weren't that great. But we just never matched them from the kickoff, and yet again, Kit being honest, we never got going. But how many times have we, as he said that, be it the first half or the second half? So it was just dreadful. I mean, everyone around us, it's a pity, really, because it was a packed cottage on a decent night and, under the lights, and we just didn't perform for the second home game in a row. And somebody's going to pay the price, as we've been reading today, I think.
Yeah, very interesting take there, Mike, by both of you. And just to go back to you, again, you and I have been DMing back and forth about a lack of game plan. And I want to ask you, what do you think was the game plan for Kit, for his team? Because, again, they never got going. And Leeds United were on top of us from the beginning and pretty much throughout the match. So My question to you is, what do you think he was looking to accomplish in this match, and why could they not execute it?
Yeah, but it's been a criticism I've had all season about game plan style. You know, you can look at teams who play long direct football or passing football all the time, and, you know, a lot of teams you can see, oh, that's their style. That's, I just don't see it. You know, I know it's not just Sunday League stuffing names a team and tells them to go out and play, but quite frankly, that's the way it looks. And I think the idea, what he wants to play, is to keep the ball a bit and give it to O'Hara and get the ball wide, but just nothing happening. Did we string 2-3 passes together? No. But we would have known Leeds would have been up from it straight from the off. We know how Evans plays. He gets people in the box. I mean, one attack there, 4 or 5 people in the box, and it was just a normal sort of attack. That's the way he plays. But I didn't see anything where we're being proactive, home team, let's go and get at them early on. And I saw someone say today, we're built to play away. And I hadn't even thought about it. And that's what's happening. We've had 3
I totally agree with that, Mike. Away.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hadn't really thought about it, but in a way, it perfectly sums us up. At home, we are not proactive. We just play like we do away and hope it works. And when it doesn't, it's dreadful, like it is at, you know, it was last home game and the one last night.
Listen, you know, I'm being honest. You know, it was difficult to watch. I said that to you before the show began. And I think you really nailed it. It's like we were the away team. That's how it felt like. And instead of being the home team, being proactive, we were more reactive. And that, to me, is disappointing and just not good enough. And, David, I want to get your thoughts on that, because it definitely felt like we were the away team.
I might as well get a tape recording here and, you know, all the things that we say time and time again, that Kit isn't proactive. He is a reactive kind of manager. The table doesn't lie. All the other cliches and everything else, you know. It is. It's just, that's exactly how it is, really. You know, this is more of a setup for away, and that's why, you know, if anything, sometimes our away performances, we get a better result away than at home. I'm not sure you'd say that about Charlton necessarily, but at Middlesbrough, certainly. And, you know, the first movement from Kit yesterday, even though things were going badly all game, was once we'd conceded the equaliser from the penalty spot. So, you know, he was reacting to that. But really, he should have seen that it just wasn't working. I mean, for me, the lack of the problem last night was with the 4 wide men. No one was getting forward. No one was had any pace. So I'm talking about Richards, LVC, Garbett and Pringle. They're, you know, obviously, two of them are there to defend primarily, but they weren't really getting forward. The 2 midfielders, LVC's not a wide midfielder, and it shows. Pringle, very much of an off night for him last night, and it showed as well. So we had no pace, no width. So O'Hara's outlets were very, very limited, and we ended up banging loads of long ball forwards. We might as well have had Matt Smith out there for all the good it would have done, really, last night. And he didn't even have him on the bench to be proactive as an option, unfortunately.
Right.
He wasn't even there. Okay, I know he's just coming back from injury, but I would have expected to see him there. But we didn't even have that option as, you know, as a Route 1 football, if all else fails. And it just, there was just no way through. There was just no passing. There was no movement. There was no pace. When we did get the ball forward and wide a couple of times, we just stopped and went back. And that's just, unfortunately, what we see every week.
Okay, very good, David. And you were talking about the wide players, so that's going to lead me to ask you about the starting 11. Were you okay with the starting 11? You predicted it, but were you okay with it?
Well, no, I'm not really okay with it, because I want to see us at home be more bold, especially. But I predicted it because I kind of know what Kit's like and who he favours. But, you know, again, you know, more, you know, another tape recording here. Where was Fredericks? At least when he came on, we did show a little bit of something, perhaps. A bit of pace, a bit of width, a bit of movement, a bit of something different. You know, we're at home, for God's sake. Get him on from the start. You know, they keep LVC. You know, LVC is not, he's not his position there. It really isn't. You know,
no, it's not.
Pringle off earlier because he wasn't doing well. Do something, you know, do something anyway. So I would have liked to seen us really play with Fredericks from the start. I'd love to see him at right back, really, but small steps in small stages, because we know Kit seemed to favour Richards there, whatever happens, so that's not going to happen early. But I'm kind of okay with the axis of Richards and Fredericks, because they do seem to have to work together much better than Richards and LVC does. So that would have been my main thing. I would have seen Fredericks there most certainly from the start. Leave LVC on the bench on this case, or if you're going to play him in the middle. I mean, they could have played him in the middle to spare O'Hara get himself suspended for Saturday, which is now going to be, you know, what's going to happen on Saturday is obviously we can talk about that tomorrow, or whoever's on, we'll talk about that tomorrow, because now we have either to play LVC in the middle or we bring Parker back in, I assume, with O'Hara suspended, which is going to be a big blow for the Reading match, obviously. So I don't know, but the lineup was, you know, I was okay with the lineup because I'd accepted that's what he was going to play, but I think he needed to have Fredericks in there, and I think most people that I've been reading on Twitter agree they want to see something like that, something a bit more exciting, because it just wasn't exciting, and LVC is just not suited to that position, not long term. Okay, as a stopgap, maybe one game or half a game, but not long term. I'm sure Mike will agree because I know he's a big fan of LVC.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask Mike about that in 1 second, David, because for me, what's funny about you talking about LVC is Sean Davis was talking about it on the broadcast in decent amount of detail that he believes he's a central midfielder. That's his best role. And it certainly feels like, and again, this is just my opinion of watching it, that it's like a square peg and round hole. Like, he can do it, but you're not playing to his strengths, that he's a central midfielder and that's where he should be. But again, it's an interesting situation. Again, like you mentioned, we will be talking about that tomorrow on the preview show, exactly what Kip might do for the Reading match. Mike, over to you. Again, I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11 and also a little bit of this discussion about LVC, because I did find it interesting that Sean Davis was talking about the situation with him out on right. That might not be the best place for him. I think you'll agree with us on that, but share with me your thoughts on the starting 11, then also the situation with Lasse Vigen Christensen.
Okay, so the starting 11, I think we all agreed that if, you know, blank bit of paper, we've got a game coming up, pick your best 11. It would not have been last night's team. You know, Fredericks, that possibly would have been in, and maybe a couple of other changes. And of course, on Saturday in the review show, or on Sunday in the review show, I was critical of Pringle, Borough, and you know, felt he could have done with a coming off earlier. Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. You know, you've got to draw away at the team that's second in the table. It was a decent performance as a team. You've lost your goalkeeper, so there's one change. And I can understand keeping the same outfielders for your next home game. They've worked hard. You know, we've criticised Kit in the past for dropping a centre-back and then, you know, putting in his favourite players, that type of thing. And so yesterday he kept with us. So I'm not going to criticise him for that. Okay. But of course the arguments are, you know, be a bit more proactive, could have had Fredericks, maybe Kaká, you know, those kind of things, or even changed one of the forwards. But no, I'm going to say fine, I was okay. I understood why he picked that 11. LVC... Well, you know I'm a massive fan, and you know I can see him being in central midfield. With the formation we've got at the moment, he's not going to fit in one of those two positions. O'Hara and Tunnicliffe are doing good jobs. And we're missing a natural right-sided if he's not going to play Fredericks. So he's filling in that role. And, yeah, I mean, it's clear that is not his position. And he was also switched over to the left for a few minutes yesterday as well. I think like he was last week also. So he's going backwards a little bit, LVC. He's, you know, he's struggling with form. He shows little flashes, but we need to see him in the middle. And I'll go back to what we spoke about a few weeks ago. With the centre-backs we have and the midfielders we have, we should be looking at three at the back, five at the back, and getting three central midfielders, and then that allows Kearney, LVC, a couple of others to mix and match in that sort of position and hopefully get more out of them. So we just have to see. But yeah, I feel a bit sorry for LVC. He's doing the job, but you know, not his position.
And that's the frustrating part about this, Mike. And again, I like your suggestions. You know, again, we're just talking about it. We're not with kid. We don't know what's going through a kid's mind. But I like trying to think outside the box. That's what you're doing. You're trying to think of ways to maximize the talent that we have. And I think we're seeing a situation where certain players are being wasted in certain positions. And I think LVC is a perfect example of that. So that's why I'm glad that we could talk about it, because I don't think we're getting the most out of him based on where he's playing. I don't think that's the right place to have him. But if you want to play him, that's where, unfortunately, you are playing him within the system that we currently have. All right, guys, what I'm going to do right now, again, we're just going to go through a couple of key moments, but more importantly, I'll just get your thoughts on them, and then also just your thoughts on the first half and the second half, and we'll just start off by me just mentioning that Fulham started off the match with a decent opportunity from Ross McCormack. It was very early on in the match, but the shot went wide, and then have to give credit to Fulham goalkeeper Joe Lewis, who made a few key saves in the first 20 minutes, but Leeds United were definitely sharper to start the match. And that's going to lead to the goal by Moussa Dembele. He scored in the 22nd minute to give Fulham the lead. And I want to get both of your thoughts on the goal. First, Mike, I'm going to start with you. I've heard some criticism of the Leeds United goalkeeper. I can see that. But still, I thought this was a quality goal by Moussa.
Yeah, I thought it showed his strengths of, you know, when he's got the ball at his feet and facing the goal, he can take people on. And he got the shot away, and yeah, keeper could possibly have done better. But you know, you've got to say, as a striker, he got in the right position, got the shot off, and you know, and deserved a goal for probably the hard work he's done in the last few weeks. You know, without really threatening the goalkeepers. I know it sounds a bit odd for a striker, but you know, he's been doing a lot of other work. So I was really pleased with him, and I think it was McCormick who put him through, which. A plus for him because he didn't have a great game either. So, yeah, I mean, he was really pleased. We were really pleased at the time. Totally against the run of play. But you hoped that was going to, you know, be the boost that we needed. Certainly got the crowd where I was sitting going. And, you know, right in front of the Leeds fans as well. So yeah, I think, you know, yeah, one up. Going towards half time. Yeah, let's carry on. Let's kick off and, you know, put the last 20 minutes, half hour behind us. But as we saw it, it was just a little flash in the pan because not much else changed afterwards.
Definitely not. And we'll definitely get to talk about that in a few minutes. But David, I want to get your thoughts on the goal. Because again, Mike mentioned this, and very rightly so. This was against the run of play, but they get the goal. And as I mentioned, you know, again, maybe possibly the goalkeeper could have done better. You know, if you want to call it a soft goal, possibly, but I don't think so. I just think this was a nice goal by Moussa Dembele. What are your thoughts?
Well, it was one of the only occasions we strung more than two passes together, I think. So we had a nice little move. Moussa's taken over the ball, then he's run at the defender, got round him and got the shot away. And for where I was at the Hammersmith then, I didn't think it was a goal at first. I thought it was one of those where the ball's gone the other side of the post and just rolling along, you know, the back of the net on the outside. Because I thought there's no way he would score from that angle. And then realised it had scored. And it was kind of this, I think a few of us were a bit muted at the Hammersmith end on seeing that. And I couldn't believe it. And then I saw the replays on the screen. I thought, that's a bad one for a goalkeeper. You know me, I'm always critical on goalkeepers.
I know you are.
Getting beaten at your near post like that was poor. So it was a soft goal in terms of that. I mean, compared to when you see what Joe Lewis is doing at the other end, I think that was a very, very average bit of goalkeeping, to say the least. But credit to Moussa for getting, you know, as Mike said, that is his strength, really. You know, running at people, he holds them off pretty well. He got his shot away, nice shot. And that's all you can ask from a striker is, you know, get the ball and hit the target and you know, make the keeper do the work. And on this occasion, the keeper didn't. And so against the run of play, we had a goal.
Yeah, totally. And listen, at this point, David, we're up 1-0. And like Mike mentioned, you would think at this point that Fulham would run with that opportunity and possibly get that second goal. But let's be honest here. Leeds United were the better team the rest of the half. They're a better team the first half. And we could argue if they were the better team the entire match. But let's talk about just this first half, especially the end of the first half. The one thing that I noticed, David, I want to get your thoughts, and then, Mike, I want to go to you. I thought Fulham played a little scared being up 1-0, and the passing was horrendous. Talk about the passing after the goal, because again, they had opportunities and they squandered them with some terrible passing.
There wasn't really any passing, you know, to be honest with you. It was hard to remember, as I say, like apart from Moose's goal, what times when we did string more than a couple of passes together. And it just wasn't working for anyone. Even O'Hara struggled at times because he was trying to try, you know, spectacular things occasionally because there was not the availability of passes on, you know, even the easy passes sometimes. They're getting cut out or they just weren't working. People weren't getting into space or positions. And so I think I saw O'Hara getting frustrated, certainly, and he tried a few kind of passes that he'd never normally try. You know, one spectacular passes, and it just wasn't coming off. And it just, it was through the whole team. It wasn't one particular, you know, really. The defence right. were, you know, it was, headed clearances were more like just all over the place. They weren't going to our players. They were going out of play. They were going back to the opposition. There was like some last-ditch as well clearances, really, and just hoofed straight up. And they were just getting, you know, meat and drink for the centre-backs, headed straight back, just putting ourselves back under pressure all the time. It was just, we just hadn't able to get our foot on the ball and use it. That was the thing. And control the game. We just never controlled the game. That's really the, I suppose, the how you would sum it up.
Okay, and they never had control of the game. And I'm glad that you mentioned it that way, David. Leeds United dictated the play. And that, to me, is the most frustrating part of all this. And, Mike, over to you, because, again, I mentioned this to you before we started the show. I don't know why, but after they scored the goal, Fulham were pressing. They looked desperate to me with their passing. It just seemed like they were trying too hard. I know that sounds a strange way to put it, but what can you make of what happened after that goal and why they struggled and overall struggled in the first half?
Well, it wasn't only the first half, was it? I mean, we just couldn't. We were rushing things. We couldn't pass, string three passes together. I mean, McCormick, I can count right in front of me. I can see him now, where he had the ball at least three times and he passed behind Dembele, you know. And also O'Hara put a ball straight out, bashed the ground. And, you know, Tunnicliffe, no, that was second half, but Tunnicliffe put a through ball and it was just nowhere near the player. And it was the same for everyone. Really weird that, you know, every outfield player just could not string a decent pass together. Every time Garber and Pringle got the ball, certainly in the first half together, it always ended up back at Burn. There was no movement. There's no one running into space. And it showed last night our sort of, we talk about lack of style. The way I think Kit wants us to play is pass the ball to the man, not into space. And the problem you have there is if no man makes himself available, you've got nowhere to go. And that's why we end up
good point.
Passing it back to Burn, back to Sturman. And just no one came out of that first half or second half who started the game with any kind of plus points on the passing side. It was, I'm struggling to remember a game where every outfield player was just so poor with their passing.
Well, let me ask you this, and again, I want to give Leeds United some credit. Should I be giving them more credit than, you know, again, we're looking at it from a Fulham perspective. What did they do to frustrate Fulham, in your opinion, Mike?
Well, they did press. They weren't pressing in packs, but they did play quite a high forward line. And so we were quite deep at time, you know, Burn and Sturman. But I'd also say I didn't think the Fulham fullbacks were close enough to our centre-backs. And I know it's the modern style of the fullbacks pushing on. But everything seemed rushed with Burn and Sturman. You know, their forwards were almost right on top of them. And they were just cutting the positions out for where we could get the ball. I mean, they were pumped up. I mean, I think David would agree, you know, actually being in the ground watching them, you could see that every one of their players was working their socks off. And they're not a good side. You know, there was nothing there that made me think they're really skillful and they're going to challenge anything. But again, we made a below average team look very good because we had no composure. and no outlets. And yeah, it was just, yeah, just dreadful.
Okay, very good, Mike. And, you know, it's funny because I heard Kidd after the match, and he didn't think it was to do with lack of effort on Fulham's part. It was just an offense to the players. But this is going to be a different way to put it. You said that they were up for it. They had that intensity. Was it maybe that Fulham could not match that intensity? Or was it like you mentioned, it was more that they just couldn't compose themselves and keep it under control? Just curious your thoughts on that.
We're very one-paced. And I don't mean just in, you know, the speed of our players. It's just the way we play the game. I've been saying it the last couple of weeks to people, and I think I mentioned it the other day. It's like playing drafts or checkers. We go A to B to C to D. That's how we seem to play, but it's all at one pace. And then when you're playing a team that's much more up for it and much more aggressive and moving faster, we can't get into a second gear, and we're really struggling with that. And when you look at players like Sturman, who, you know, he's a blood and guts player, it's just not happening. And we cannot get into that second gear and compete with a team like Leeds the way Leeds were playing against us. So it's not lack of effort, it's just style or lack of game plan.
Lack of style.
And possibly motivation. You know, let's be honest, they've gone out and they've not kicked on again in a home game. And that has to go down to the leader.
Okay, very good. Very interesting there, Mike. All right, let's move on to the second half. And again, I just wrote down some key moments. Let's just go through them individually. I'll just go back and forth with you guys. And David, I'm going to start with you. Because early in the second half, Leeds player Tom Adeyemi went down under the challenge of Joe Lewis, but the penalty was not given. Let me just ask you, did the referee get this one right? I think he did.
No, I did. Yeah, you say the penalty wasn't given. It wasn't a penalty. So it was
an interesting
decision. I mean, it was, I don't know if anyone got it. I think Gentleman Jim got excited because I did hear that a little bit back on the highlights. So
he did.
You always get this. When the referee's pointing for a goal kick, people sometimes think he's pointing for the penalty, but it is actually a subtly different signal when you're pointing for a penalty than when you're pointing for a goal kick. And I saw the linesman was signalling a goal kick as well, so I wasn't worried at all. Obviously, I didn't get a really clear look of it at the time, but I did look at it on the replay, and I'm not convinced it should have been a penalty. There were worse decisions probably missed, you know, if anything.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, let's move on to the 62nd minute. And Mike, this is to you. Leeds United were awarded a penalty for a handball in the box, and Chris Wood scored to make it 1-1. Again, I want to get your thoughts on this. I've seen it a few times. I've had other people tell me that they really couldn't tell. I had a hard time telling. Let me ask you, was this a penalty? And also, should Lewis have done better on this?
Well, I mean, let's go. We've not mentioned Burns one.
That's right. Good point. Okay.
But yeah, this penalty, it was right in front of me, and there's lots going on in the box, and then suddenly the ref blows and it's a penalty. And I'll be honest, I completely missed it. And it's not as if I had a pillar in my way or anything like that. But I wasn't sure why it was given. But tellingly, hardly any of the players complained, which for me says it was a penalty. So
okay.
There was no one remonstrating. There was, you know, shouldn't be given, ref shouldn't be given. So I'd say it was a penalty.
Okay, and you know, again, it's a difficult situation for the goalkeeper. He did get two hands on it. Do you blame him for this? Because, you know, again, it's a penalty. It's difficult. What are your thoughts about this?
No, I thought he was unlucky to get his hands to it, but I'm never going to blame a goalkeeper for not saving a penalty. I mean, the odds are stacked in the forwards, you know, odds. So, no, I mean, I'm not going to mark Lewis down for that. I mean, he made at least three really good saves throughout the game, and
absolutely
hardly put a foot wrong, to be honest. And yeah, I mean, he got his hands to it. That's, you know, can't really ask too much more than that. And he was unlucky, really.
Okay, very good. And David, back to you a few minutes later in the 66th minute. Ryan Fredericks try to lob the ball over the goalkeeper, Silvestri, and the goalkeeper blocked it, and it was dangerously close to being outside of the box. What are your thoughts on this situation? I've watched it a few times. Gentleman Jim was going crazy on the broadcast. I actually think that he was in the box. I don't think he was outside the box. What do you think about this?
Well, I sit almost level with that side of the penalty area, so I'm looking straight down that line, and I'm pretty sure the contact was inside the box, and it was just the fact his momentum took him outside the box. So I didn't think it was I think the ref got it right, basically. I mean, it was close, but the ref got it right.
Okay, and I tend to agree with that, but I just wanted to bring up that situation. And Mike, back over to you, because again, Ryan Fredericks was making himself known here. He was having an impact, and later on, he went down in the box as he was blocked off in this situation. Now, I'm going to ask you, was this a penalty?
I have not seen a replay, but I mean, at the time, I was not. I didn't think it was too much of a penalty. I mean, maybe you haven't seen the replay, have a better
I've
view
seen
on it.
It.
But at the time, at the time, I didn't think it was.
Yeah, it's funny because if I'm being completely honest, you know, I'm a supporter. You know, I've seen that call, but I don't think it was a penalty. David, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I didn't think it was a penalty either. It was quite in front of me as well. It was just, you know, he was strong, the defender. There wasn't a kind of a movement to knock him over. They just kind of went together, really, and it was, he came off stronger. So I think he made a meal of it a bit, Fredericks. He was
okay. He's
been learning from McCormack.
Okay, David. All right. One other thing that I want to mention before we wrap up and talk about the end of the second half, Mike, I want to go back to you because, again, I want to give Joe Lewis some credit. Like you mentioned, he made some key saves. He made some very nice saves late in the match. Talk about it.
Yeah, well, he, you know, high up, I think it was high up to his right and also to his left, he made some good saves. Had a couple of shots straight at him as well. I mean, you know, another game where we've given team, you know, what was it, 15, 16 shots, something like that. And, you know, we do like to keep our goalkeepers busy, don't we? And I think he showed he was a, you know, he's a good loan signing. He's a good, he's an experienced goalkeeper. He's been around for a while. And his performance was better than the Stoke game that he played in. And, yeah, I've no concerns. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to see Lonergan back, but I would. You could argue, you know, there's a decision there between the two goalkeepers. Or, you know, Bettinelli, I don't think we'll see this season, but certainly those two, there's proper competition for the number one position. And Lewis saved us yesterday. We could have easily let him free another night. And I see one man in the match on the Fulham website, and he also won the man in the match poll on the Real Fulham one as well, quite easily. Easiest one all season. So I think that shows just how good he was yesterday and how poor everyone else was.
Yeah, he was very good there, Mike. I'm going to agree with you there. David, like you mentioned before, you are usually very critical of goalkeepers. So is Mike right? Could we potentially have a battle for the number one goalkeeper here? And what are your thoughts about how he played overall?
Well, on Saturday, if I'm Lewis and I find that I get dropped because Lonergan's fit, I'd be pretty upset, I think. I think he's, you know, as Mike kind of was saying, there's an argument whether he deserves to keep the shirt or not. I mean, Lonergan's been pretty good for us as well, despite, you know, I had a few reservations about him, but Lewis was pretty faultless last night. Would be hard to fault him on the penalty. Disappointing, as he will be, because he got his hands to it and he knows that he was very close to saving it, but you can't blame him for that because the penalty is, you know, it should be the easiest finish of the lot for a striker, really, from, you know, 12 yards with a whole goal to aim at. So, no, I think that on that showing, that's the first time I've seen him. I was quite happy with what he did.
Okay, very good there, David. Very good. All right. Okay, so overall in the second half, would you give Leeds the edge here, like we pretty much did in the first half?
Definitely. There's one thing that I was wanting to talk about, and Mike will as well.
Okay.
It wasn't shown on the
Go
playback,
ahead.
But there should have really been two red cards at the end. But unfortunately, the camera decided to focus on the ref giving a yellow card to Dan Byrne rather than the near punch-up that happened in the corner, because I think Luke Garbutt...
Yeah, I didn't see that, dude.
Yeah, the Leeds player came and knocked Luke Garbutt over or something, put his hands up and knocked him over. Luke Garbutt got back up, and it looked to me, and Mike hopefully will, you know, this way, it looked like Luke Garbutt then took a kick out of the player and the Leeds player, and then he went down. Then there was handbags, and they both ended up with a yellow card. But for me, it was a red card for Luke Garbutt, really. And I'm not sure about for the Leeds player, but definitely for Luke Garbutt. And I'm surprised that didn't get more of a kind of a mention, really.
Okay, very good, David. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I also think he, at the time, I thought, oh, you idiot. Because they had a free kick and it all went off and it was like, oh, God, he's going to get a red card here. And it would have been totally justified. And I think Garbutt had a bit of a set to in the first half, if I remember rightly, as well. And, you know, maybe he's shown a bit of frustration from not playing too well, to be honest. And I wouldn't have had any arguments if he'd gone off. I'm not sure about the Leeds player, but when I only saw a yellow card, I was very happy.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, Mike, real quick, again, just to finish this off, because at the very end of the match, Fulham had a decent opportunity, and I got to tell you, Dan Byrne was very close to getting his head on that ball. Do you get a good view of the very end of the match? I believe you were periscoping at this point.
Yeah, I was. I was trying to get the last chance. I did see it, and it looked close. I mean, that would have been a real smash and grab, wouldn't it? But
yes.
It does show what Dan offers, you know, in the opponent's box at those kind of times. And it would have been obviously great if it had gone in, but we had a little bit of pressure in those last couple of minutes, I suppose, looking back last night. But you said, did Leeds edge it in the second half? They didn't edge it. They won it. They won the second half. They won the first half, and we got away with a point. I mean, there's no edge to it.
Yeah.
They were the better side throughout. And we were fortunate. And, to defend Kit a little bit, yes, it was a point one, but my God, you shouldn't be saying that against the Leeds side in the position they're in and the form they're in and what we should be doing to get near the playoffs. So, bad night all round.
Okay, very good. And before we go to stats, I want to ask you both, and just tell me if I'm wrong. You know, I'm curious if I'm wrong on this. I'm going to give you an option and tell me which one Steve Evans is closer to. David, first to you, Jabba the Hutt or the Pillsbury Doughboy?
Is that the one who was in Ghostbusters?
I'm sorry, that's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I don't know who the Pillsbury Puff Boy is, so it's got to be Jabba the Hutt, definitely.
Jabba the Hutt? Okay, I'm sorry. Mike, to you, because again, for me, this is between the three of us. I can't stand Steve Evans. I can't stand the way that he acts during the matches. I certainly don't like his pressers. And, I'm sorry. I'm taking a shot here because I just cannot stand this manager. So, Mike, I'm just curious. Stay Puft Marshall Man? I'm sorry. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? Or are we talking Jabba the Hutt?
Well, you know I don't like him. Anyone who follows me on Twitter knows I can't stand him.
I can't stand this guy. I'm sorry.
I think he started off as a, you know, the big boy diner, and then he grew into the Stay Puft character.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to do one shot him during the show. So I apologize to anyone that's offended. I'm not trying to make fun of fat people or anything like that, but it's just about this guy, because this guy is just annoying beyond belief to me. And I really cannot stand Steve Evans. All right, guys, let's now look at the stats. And I think the stats are going to be revealing. Let's start with possession. Fulham had 48%, Leeds had 52%. total shots. Fulham had 11. Leeds United had 16 shots on target. I think this is very revealing. Fulham only had 2. Leeds United had 8. Corners, Fulham only had 3. Leeds United had 6. Crosses, Fulham had 15. Leeds United had 34. Tackles, Fulham had 13. Leeds United had 9. Attacking passes, attempted passes was 405 for Fulham, 411 for Leeds United. I think this is a very telling stat. Attacking passes, Fulham had 115. Leeds United had 213, almost 100 more attacking passes. Passing accuracy, 68% for Leeds United were at 72. And fouls, Fulham were at 16, Leeds United 10. All right, David, what stands out to you from the stats?
Well, the stats show really, you know, a game where one team should have won, really, you know. And so for if you didn't know the final score and you looked at those stats, you'd say that Leeds would have won that match. But the one that's, as I've mentioned earlier in the show, is the most galling for me, is 2 shots on target at home and 8 for the opposition. You know, 4 times as many shots on target. That isn't home form. That is what Mike said, like, you know, playing away from home, really, trying to get the chances where you can. You know, it's, where's the fortress that we talk about? There's no fortress. It's just an invite to come and take pot shots at our goalkeeper at the moment.
Okay, very good there, David. Mike, over to you. Do you agree with David, or are you thinking like I'm thinking? I'm thinking of the attacking passes.
Well, I mean, nothing looks good on that list, does it? I mean, did you mention the crosses? I mean, 33 crosses Leeds got.
Yes.
Compared to our 33.
Yes.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. Yep. And, you know, and long passes. So our long passes, 101 to their 77. You know, that's not a footballing side. I'm sorry. That's, you know, and attacking passes, 2 shots. McCormick is just getting away with murder in some games. He's, Dave, I don't know if it comes across on TV, but Dave will tell you, when you're watching him live, the ball's up in the air, coming down, and he's being marked by a centre-back. He doesn't challenge. He looks at the player, and he's not even challenging for the ball. He's looking for a foul. And he is an embarrassment as a captain at the moment, an absolute sham. He's not leading. He's not helping his teammates around him. And he just looks like a player going through the motions, taking the money and just wishes he was somewhere else. And quite frankly, I'll be quite happy if he goes in January, because I've just had enough of him, really.
Very interesting there, Mike. Sorry. David, any thoughts on what Mike just shared? That's okay. Mike, that's fine. I don't mind rants. I went on my Steve Evans rant. If I can go on my Steve Evans rant, you can go on your Ross McCormack rant. David, what are your thoughts?
I'm still upset you didn't let me choose the Marshmallow Man as an option, but you let Mike have that. But that's aside now. Obviously, I see totally what Mike's saying. I'm not as down on McCormack as Mike is, but I can see exactly what he says. He to me, looks like, you know, if there was someone in the camp who was a disruptive influence, I would say it was him. I could imagine that he rubs people up the wrong way. I don't know. It's just an impression I get. I have nothing to suggest. When I've spoke to him, he's been perfectly nice and pleasant and quite happy to talk about tactics and things. But I could just imagine on the pitch that he maybe rubs people up the wrong way. And I say, you know, he's looking for free kicks all the time. And, you know, the guy next to me is always shouting F off McCormack every time, almost, because he feels like Mike does, that he's just not interested and he's, you know, play acting and whatever else, and everything that you don't want from your captain or your main striker, really. So yeah, I see totally. I'm not quite as down on him as Mike, but I see what Mike's saying completely.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, we only have about 15 minutes left, and David, I know how much joy reading the press. We really don't have much time, but if you'd like, I definitely, if you want to, please feel free to rate the players, but I want you to do them all together, and we kind of have to do it in rapid fire fashion. And like I said, we only have 15 minutes left because I definitely want your thoughts on Kit as well. So do you still want to rate the players? If so, you know, again, maybe
yeah,
3 to 5 minutes.
I'll rattle them off in a minute then, yeah?
Okay, fantastic. Go ahead.
Okay, Lewis, 8 out of 10. Richards, 5. Stearman, 6. Byrne, 5. Garbutt, 4. LVC, 4, Tunnicliffe 5, O'Hara 6, Pringle 3, McCormack 5, and Dembele 6.
Okay, very good. All right. And your man of the match, obviously, is Joe Lewis.
Well, or Sammy James for that throw, but Joe Lewis, I guess, yeah.
He's a good guy, Sammy James. He does a great broadcast between me and you. All right, yeah, Mike.
He listens into us, Russ, and gets his.
I know he does.
From listening to us, he listens to us, and then learns from the masters, huh?
Well, certainly not from me. Maybe from you and Mike. I'm just the host here. All right, Mike. Real quick, would you like to rate the team? I know you didn't have much time to decide if you were coming on. Do you want to rate the team?
I will do. But I was listening to Dave there, and I only disagreed with one, and that was Byrne. I think he gave him a 5. I'd give him a 6. And
okay.
And that was it. And apart from that, everything else was exactly the same. And that's not a cop out. That's pretty fair. That's what I would have done.
Okay, very good. Very good. All right, and I'm assuming your man of the match is Joe Lewis as well.
Yes.
Okay.
There was no one else close enough.
I was going to say, who else is close,
no
Mike?
One. No one. No one. There was no other player who could get anywhere near. And shame on them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All right, well that gives us a little bit of time because let's talk about Kit, because again I definitely want to talk about Kit and get your thoughts on it. Like I mentioned, I actually talked to Kit a decent amount with Matt Smith earlier this morning. We talked about both matches, and what's interesting about talking to Mike. To Matt about it is that Kit really was different in these two matches. I thought he actually managed well against Middlesbrough and not so much in this last match. So, Mike, I'll start with you. Let's rate the manager and feel free to share your thoughts.
Well, as I said, I was fairly okay with the selection. The subs, yes, people were expecting Smith, but I saw him play for the under-21s on Friday, so I wasn't overly surprised he wasn't on the bench. And so, for the lineup and that's fair. The goal that they scored, we were going to make a sub. He was ready to make a sub, and of course they go and get the penalty. So he was looking to change it. You could argue bringing on Fredericks and Kaká is going from the attack with the two wingers. The predictable substitution of Dembele was a bit galling, and certainly those in H block in the Johnny Haynes stand weren't happy. I don't know about in the Hammersmith end, if Dave can say. But you've got to look back at it. The home game, lack of motivation, game plan, all the plus points I've just mentioned all go out the window because he could not get that team to compete from the first second of the game really throughout the whole thing, and the passing, preparation, what was going on. And so he's only going to get, if I'm going to rate him, he's only going to get a 4 from me today. And it's one bad performance too many, I think. And you heard that from the crowd. And if you watched the Periscope, yep, which I did, you heard that, didn't you, Russ? I mean, it was quite blatant what was being said. I think it's one bad performance too many. And
okay,
I'm sure we're going to talk about Shahid Khan's comments. And I think, it's curtains for him coming the weekend.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Definitely won't want to mention his video that was on Sky Sports. Mike, definitely we're going to talk about it. Before we do, Mike, I want to go to David and get his view on Kit in this match. David, give Kit a rating, and then we will talk about the Shahid Khan video.
Well, I think in fairness to Mike, he saw the player ratings in the same way as I did, and I'm with him really on the rating of Kit. And I almost feel forced too much because I'm just so frustrated with what he did. But, you know, at the end of the day, he has gone out there and he's tried to pick a solid side that we predicted. It's not so much about his team selection. It's more about, obviously, the tactics and the motivation where the problems are. He did try and belatedly make the substitutions, but I can't give him more than four either, I'm afraid.
Okay, very good. And guys, before we go back and talk about Shad Khan, I want to rate myself because I really blew that little thing I was talking about with Steve Evans, and I'm going to give myself a 0.0 for not being able to say the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I'm going to give my own rating here, and I'm going to give myself a 0.0. All right. Let's go back and let's now talk about Shad Khan. Mike, I'm going to go to you because I watched the video. And, you know, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. David and I will definitely talk about this tomorrow. And I'm going to be asking the question, you know, could the Ready match be his last match? But again, I want to get your thoughts on the video. What did you learn from the video? Again, I was reading a little bit between the lines. I think Kit's under a lot of pressure. But what are your thoughts about the Shad Khan video?
Well, I mean, you can watch it and then you read it, and what I've taken out of it is the line, he's done everything he can. So that's not saying that's not a vote of confidence. That's just saying he's done, isn't it? You know, that's what the way I'm reading that is. He's done everything he can. We haven't got enough points, and there's going to be a change, and that's what maybe I've read too much into it, but. Almost everyone else who I've seen take that quote is reading into it what I have. And I think it'll still be manager Saturday. He's a dead man walking, really. And you can't blame, you can't blame Khan if he makes a change now. I mean, I saw a stat, 38 games, 38 points since Christmas. I mean, any other manager, if he didn't have the Fulham connection, we would be on his back much more, and that's a fact. And it's a shame, and I hope there's a way of, you know, letting him go, let him take some time off and come back, maybe back into the youth setup, because I don't think he's managerial material for, you know, first team football. So that's what I took from it. Khan's frustrated. Okay. You can see that.
No, listen, Mike, I completely agree with that. And that's what I got out. I got out of it frustration. What I found interesting, and David, I'm going to go to you. I tend to lean towards Mike's thoughts on this. On top of it, he mentioned that he had talked to the fans. So if he talked to the fans, again, I have a bad feeling for Kit on this one. But what are your thoughts on the video from Shad Khan that's on Sky? I put it on the Cottage Talk Facebook page and also tweeted it out as well.
I suppose it depends which fans you talk to. I mean, if you talk to the fans in hospitality, the ones who are getting nice free food and free drinks, perhaps there would be less damning. I'm not sure. If he comes up the Hammersmith end and speaks to people all around me, he'll get a very different answer for sure, the same sort of thing that we're saying. But I guess the he's done everything he can line is interesting. You could read it in two ways. You could say, basically, you know, he's doing everything that he can. So I'm very happy with what he's doing because he's doing all the stuff he should be doing. Or obviously, you know, he's done everything he can and still we're in this position. Therefore, he isn't the man for the job. So that's how you look at it. And I'm not sure if we're thinking that in wishful thinking as well, because we're hoping that the end is very close. And unfortunately, it's a sad day to be wishing someone out of a job, I guess. Obviously, unless their name is Steve Evans or maybe Mark Cooper, of course. And he's available, of course, Mike, at the moment, Mark Cooper. So be careful what you wish for, I guess, isn't it, as well? But
over my dead body.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. It looks like, to quote a James Bond song, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that, guys. And thanks, Mike, for the little update. I guess at the very end, having some issues with my microphone. Again, we're trying direct connect again. Just so you know, I was contacted by Blog Talk Radio to try direct connect once again, and hopefully it will work over time. But I was afraid that we might have some slight issues with my microphone. So hopefully over time it continues to get better. But I apologize for any issues we're having with the audio today, because we are trying it once again. And I will have my co-host try it again. But I thought I would try it myself first and see how it goes. All right, guy, final thoughts before we go. David, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, it's, as I say, you could almost replace me with a tape recorder sometimes, because we're just saying the same thing week in, week out, that it's not good enough from Kit. We need there to be a change of some sort. We need either a change in the way the team plays, or we need a change in the management. And it's going to be a very tough game on Saturday, I think. Well, you would think it'd be a tough game because we're playing a much stronger opposition, but you never really know with football. Sometimes you get these mad results. But I think it's a disadvantage we're going to be, obviously, without without Jamie O'Hara, although we do welcome Tom Kearney back, of course. So I guess it's too short a notice for anything to happen now. I think we will still see him on Saturday, but perhaps, just perhaps, if it doesn't go well on Saturday, there may be an announcement soon afterwards.
Okay, very good. Mike, final thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm not one of these fans who's I've seen a couple wishing that we lose on Saturday. Absolutely don't want that. I never want that. What I do hope is that Khan, Rigg and McIntosh have weighed everything up, decided that they've got to make a change. Kit will, I suspect, still be in charge on Saturday. And win, lose or draw, I would hope, and I don't like using that, but, you know, I hope he is replaced after that game. And, you know, we look after him as a club as well. But that's the best we can wish for. And, I'm hoping Saturday we can get a result, because I still think we've got a good enough squad of players. It's going to be bloody hard to challenge now. You know, we're going to need a really, really good run to get back in contention. But it is possible at the moment. But if we leave it any longer and fall further behind, it's just another wasted season. So I'm hoping a big name, someone to get the crowd excited, but we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, very good, Mike. And again, we'll have to see what happens this weekend. I'm looking forward to this match. And just a little final thoughts for me, because on Saturday it'll be 3 years since I went to see Fulham play Reading at the Majeski Stadium. So I'll be thinking about this. I honestly, I wish I was going to be there. You know, again, it's boy, do I want to go to London really bad. And this match is going to bring that all home, that it's been 3 years since I've been to London. But I'll be thinking about all you guys, and let's hope for a good result. But David, you and I will be previewing the match tomorrow for a wonderful show.
I can't wait.
Was that being sarcastic, David?
Yeah, not against you, Russ, but just, you know, the same old arguments with Kit again, I guess. Unless we get, of course, a sudden shock announcement tomorrow. But, yeah, no, I always enjoy doing the show with you. You know that. But it's just, you know, I've become a bit oblivious to it, unfortunately. I'm shocked that I'm not more upset about, you know, I'm just numb with the way we're playing at the moment.
Okay. And I'll just leave you with a quick thought, because here I am making fun of Steve Evans. And again, I'm not going to talk about the 0.0 because I obviously just mentioned it again. But my nickname for my kids is Peyton Manninghead. And Mike, if you get a chance, check out Peyton Manning. You'll know who I'm talking about. I have a huge head. So again, I'm going to make fun of myself as well. All right, guys. Excellent, excellent show. It's time to wrap it up. For David and Mike, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Russ.
Good night,
cheers,
mate. Good night, Mike. Cheers. Good night, Russ.